Thanks for coming. Anyway, so I'm going to present one of my work. It's related to like natural resource consumption. Yes, it's the natural resource consumption, no carbon or anything. But anyway, so this research was conducted in the Sacramento, so working data. And the data is located in the north of California. So it has the one river running from the north to the south, and another river running from the east to the west, and merge at the San Francisco Bay. And the data is the major water hub for Californians and agriculture in the Central Valley. So historically, the data is the tidal marsh, as is shown in the picture here. However, during the late 1800s, the area was drained for agriculture. It's really typical. And here now, today. And the soils of the delta is mainly histosols with the higher organic carbon contents. So the drainage and all the conversion to agriculture has caused many environmental issues. One of the worst is the soil subsidence. And this map shows the land subsidence in the delta. And the colored area, that's the area with the elevation lower than sea level, especially in the central area. You had many islands has an elevation 18 feet or more below the sea level. And this is the typical landscape in the delta. You see the river running through, and the farm land is lower than the level of water. So you can imagine that. So subsidence has also caused extensive greenhouse gas emissions, and many of the carbon dioxide and nitrous oxide. And during the estimate, it's about 5.5 million carbon dioxide annually, and about 0.5 to 2 million carbon dioxide equivalent tons of nitrous oxide. So one of our jobs is try to demonstrate, to address these problems, is try to demonstrate rice-based cropping system as a regional solution to reduce the soil subsidence, to mitigate greenhouse gas emissions. And during the past, me and our colleagues had done some work. Is indeed, the idea is try to convert the current drained land use agriculture to a flooded system like it used to be, for instance, rice system. So in a drained agriculture system, for sure, we see it's a significant carbon dioxide and natural oxide source. And the long-term estimation of subsidence rates is about 1 to 3 centimeters per year. However, we have demonstrated with rice, we can reduce the subsidence rate to 0.1 centimeter per year. And we also can change the whole system from a carbon dioxide source to a carbon dioxide sink. But however, we know wetlands is also a significant source of methane. So one of my work is try to understand the dynamics of greenhouse gas emissions from the rice system and try to understand why, and also try to understand optimize the management to reduce the greenhouse gases from this system. And that's the time the interesting question pops up. And these two shows the seasonal flux of methane and natural oxide in one of the regulated peatlands with the soil organic carbon content about 15%. In the top, that's the methane emission. In the shaded area, that's the time the field was flooded. And this is the growing season, and this is the fallow season. So for methane emission, it's typical. You see a minimum or low emission of methane at the beginning of the season and the low during the winter, and maybe because that's the low temperature. And then with the flooded time goes, you can see increased methane, and then you can see a peak of the methane after the drainage for rice cultivation. And for the N2O, during the flood period, during the flood starts, we see the high emission of nitrous oxide. But once the flooded, we see a pretty much minimal emission of N2O. But occasionally, or not really occasionally, we frequently observe the N2O, negative N2O emissions, especially after the drainage. And that breakdown right here, that's the time the field starts to drain for rice harvest. So remember, the maximum potential is about 2.5 milligrams per square meter per day, and with the median about 1, and we see the 30% of the chance to see the negative emissions. And remember those numbers because we're not compare those numbers to other sites. So this to give us some idea. Maybe we can restore the peatland as a natural sink. So we search the data from a documentary research, and this figure is retrieved from these two papers, in which review or summarize all those natural consumption across the value ecosystems. And this I also incorporated rice, natural consumption from rice field. So basically, the idea is natural water consumption has been frequently observed in a variety of a range of ecosystems. But if you look at this figure, you can see you are more likely to see the consumption in wetlands, in the boreal peatlands or forest, and rice. So that means what? It seems that the natural consumption is more favorable under the reduced environment, and maybe that makes sense because denitrification, it seems that that's the major pathway for natural water consumption. And that line shows the value we observed in all regulated peatlands. And see, the pretty much the maximum potential is pretty much the same with the wetlands and rice and boreal peatlands. But don't remember, we have a measurement frequency more than 10, three times the frequency higher than those documented results, and also had a median about 10 times of those documented values. So that gives us a chance. Yes, indeed, it seems that we can restore the peatland as a natural consumption. So we explore the potential in the delta and try to answer whether indeed we can restore the degraded peatlands as an N2O sink. Because restoring seems that the peatland system is the most frequent we can manipulate as a to increase carbon concentration. And those systems most likely have the more less nitrogen contents and reduced environment and also have a higher soil organic carbon contents. It seems that all those conditions are leading to the favorable for natural gas consumption. So we explore the opportunity, use the data as an example. And this shows the natural gas emissions during the rice growing season in the three fields with the 60% soil organic carbon content, 11% and 23% soil organic matter content. Again, the shake area last time the field was flooded. And pretty much we see the similar trend of the consumption but with the different magnitudes. So I'm going to here use the 20% soil organic carbon field as an example. But one thing is noticed that with the increased soil organic matter contents from 6% to 23%, you're going to see more likely to see the consumption happens. So again, we see a minimum emission of the nitrogen. By the way, we also invest whether the new nitrogen fertilization is going to affect this emission or the consumption. So basically, we see the high emission during the earliest flood period, and I think that's the common because the fertilization. And then we're going to start to see the minimum emission, and occasionally you're going to see the consumption occurs. However, one interesting again here is after the drainage, you're going to start to see the increased frequency and the magnitude of consumption. And even after here, there's no standing water on the top of the soil already, but still you see this is a redox potential. So over time, you can see the decrease the redox potential, but even after there's no standing water on the soil, still you're going to retain the low redox potential, maybe because there's the peak soils has a higher the water holding capacity and have a higher electron donating capacity to maintain the low EH. But again, we see the maximum potential is about 5 milligrams per liter, and this is consistent with those documented results. However, we see the median, so the higher median about 1. This is the 10 times of the median we observed from those the documented results, and we also have a higher frequency of the emissions, consumption rates. So this is again, it seems that yes, indeed, we can restore the peatlands as a natural consumption, as an N2O sink, but it just depends on how. But before we can answer the how, we have to understand why we increase the soil organic matter content of 6% to 23%, you're going to increase the consumption rate. That's one question. And the next, why we're going to see a higher consumption after the drainage. Not here, but just right after the drainage. So to answer the first questions, we plot in the field measurement on nitrogen oxide emissions versus redox potential. So we find there's a positive relationship with the emission and the redox potential. It seems that you have to have it's more likely under the lower redox potential, you're going to more likely to see the emission, the consumption. And this again makes sense because the main pathway of consumption is the denitrification. If you have a lower redox potential, it seems that it's more likely to see the denitrification to happen. And this also, we collect the soil from these three fields and incubated with the 15 ppm of natural oxide in the head spaces. And the y-axis here is the percentage of the natural oxide left after the incubation over 3 days. So we start to see the difference after 3 hours after the incubation. Yes, indeed. If you have a higher soil organic matter content, it seems that you're going to have a higher potential for the nitric oxide consumption to happen. So this again is answers why we're going to observe in your field when you increase the soil organic matter content from 6% to 23%, you're going to see likely to see the nitric oxide consumption. And because the higher soil organic matter content, you're going to see create a more reduced environment to drive the denitrification or to drive the nitric oxide reduction to happen. So to answer the next question, why are we going to likely to see the consumption after the drainage but still maintain the soil reduced environment? So this figure shows we measure the poor water nitric oxide concentrations in these three fields, and the dashed line last we calculated, we used the atmospheric nitric oxide to calculate the in situ air water equivalent concentration of nitric oxide. So in this case, yes, indeed, after the initial drain flood period, we see the highly saturated nitric oxide in the pore water. However, over time, you're going to see the decrease of concentration, and overall, you're going to see that actual pore water nitric oxide has concentration less than the theoretical value. That means that the nitric oxide in the pore water has been reduced, diffused to the soil, have been reduced, but they are not replenished from the atmosphere. So this tells us that it seems that because we know the gas transformation is 10,000 times greater than the diffusion in the water. So if you have a water level really higher, the transformation of nitric oxide from the atmosphere to the soil is slowed down. But the reduction happens really quick. So the reduction happens really quick, but the supply from the atmosphere is lower. So that's the time you're going to see the lower concentration of poor water nitric oxide concentration. And this may explain why we start to see higher consumption after the drainage, because the water is going to stop the diffusion of the atmospheric N2O to the soil to make them get reduced. But after drainage, the barrier is slowed down, so the diffusion of nitric oxide to the soil is fast, it's quick, so you're going to see a higher consumption happen. So to improve this theoretical, we also do a light incubation and collect the soil from 11% soil organic matter content and 23%. And the shake area is that all the soil was incubated at water level 10 centimeters above the soil surface. So you see, pretty much we see a minimum production of N2O emissions. However, after day 3, we start to induce the treatment. Well, for one of them, we just completely removed all the waters, and so but the soil still keeps saturated, but there's no standing water on the soil. So in this 11% soil organic carbon content soil, we directly to see the emissions of N2O right away. But when the water was about 5 centimeters above the soil, there's no much difference with the 10 centimeters. So basically, there's no difference. However, in the 23% soil organic carbon soils, if you did not remove the water, so pretty much they stay the same. However, you see there's a relatively the consumption of nitric oxide when there's no water. When the water is about 0 and 5 centimeters above the soil surface. So again, it seems that yes, the nitric oxide, the water level above the soil surface, you're going to affect the consumption. So I believe this is the scenario, what happens maybe in the field. So when you have a rice field, when the soil was flooded with the waters, and then because you have higher soil organic matter carbon content, you're going to create a lower reduced environment, and also we don't see enough the nitrate and ammonia in the system. So there's no source for nitric oxide, and we don't see the nitric emission at all, and at the same time, we don't see much nitric consumption to nitric because the water is going to stop the diffusion or slow down the diffusion of the N2O from the atmosphere to the water and then to the soil. However, when you lower the water levels, you're going to have a higher organic, so you're going to have a really high reduced environment and no nitrogen. So again, you don't see the emission of N2O, but because the diffusion of the N2O from the atmosphere to water and to soil increase, so you're going to see the increased consumption of N2O to N2. However, when there's no water, water table is below the soil surface, you're going to start to see, because the higher organic carbon, so you're going to see the mineralization of soil organic matter, you're going to still start to see the ammonium and nitrate pop up. You're going to have a rubber substrate for denitrification and nitrification. You're going to see the emission of N2O, so you don't see the consumption at all. So this is what I believe is going to happen in the field, but still needs to be proved in the field. So I'm going to start in here. Can we really restore the peatlands as the N2O sink? I'm not giving an answer, but I personally believe it's true. And this is the number if I use the highest N2O potential to do the calculation. So every year, you're going to reduce the 8.2 tons of carbon dioxide equivalents of N2O. And this is about 32% of average N2O emission from the drained peat soils. And that's huge. That's significant. Really significant. So, all right. Thanks. And this is the research funded by the NIFA, USDA through the NIFA. And I'd like to thank my colleagues and for their support in the field. Thanks for your attention.